we can, in fact, impact the course of the disease for those who are most at risk.
Searching for COVID treatments and a cure. It's Tuesday, May 5th. This is VOA Asia. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. You'll find us on Facebook and Instagram at VOA Asia. Also ahead, India copes with its lockdown, the virus impact for children, free offers helping the homebound, a space milestone, and feeding school children. It's all on today's VOA Asia. The United States Food and Drug Administration has granted emergency use authorization for a drug called remdesivir to treat patients diagnosed with the coronavirus. President Trump made the announcement as we hear from White House correspondent Patsy Whitaker-Swara.
Remdesivir is an experimental, broad-spectrum antiviral drug made by American pharmaceutical Gilead Sciences that was first developed to treat the Ebola virus. President Donald Trump announced the U.S. Food and Drug Administration has approved its emergency use to treat COVID-19.
It's really a very promising situation. We've been doing work with the teams at the FDA, NIH, and Gilead for spearheading this public-private partnership to make this happen very quickly.
Preliminary studies showed remdesivir can help patients recover 4 days faster on average. Former FDA Associate Commissioner Peter Pitts.
So it is not a game changer, but it is extremely important for a number of reasons. Firstly, it shows that we can, in fact, impact the course of the disease for those who are most at risk. And secondly, it will allow us to better allocate our resources for hospitals, hospital beds, gowns, masks, doctors, nurses, healthcare technicians, so that we can protect those most at risk.
CEO Daniel O'Day said Gilead Sciences is donating 1.5 million vials of the drug and would work with the federal government to distribute it to patients in need. The FDA previously authorized emergency use of the malaria drug hydroxychloroquine to fight the COVID-19 virus, then issued a warning against taking it outside of a hospital or clinical trial after reports of serious heart rhythm problems in patients. Without other proven treatments, healthcare workers will likely be considering remdesivir, particularly for patients who are severely ill.
Remdesivir and its emergency use authorization is not a signal for the 85% of COVID-19 patients who can, in fact, ride the disease out at home, in bed, resting, plenty of fluids. This is for a desperately ill population, and that's why the EUA was issued, because these people really need help, and they need it right now.
Other big news from the White House Friday, the return of briefings by the press secretary.
I will never lie to you. You have my word on that. As to the timing of the briefings, we do plan to do them. I will announce timing of that forthcoming, but we do plan to continue these.
Patsy Whitaker-Swara, VOA News.
VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook is the place to go to read more on our top story. You can also visit the voanews.com website. These are among some of the top Asia headlines you'll find right now when you visit voanews.com. Mike Pompeo says enormous evidence coronavirus originated in Chinese lab. Malaysia rounds up hundreds of undocumented migrants amid coronavirus fears. Eye for India. Virtual concert raises money for essential workers. Indian Air Force planes, military bands play tribute to COVID workers. Comedians manage to get laughs during pandemic lockdowns. You'll find expanded coverage of all these stories and much more when you visit Facebook at VOA Asia, as well as the voanews.com website. VOA Asia continues. I'm Jim Stevenson in Washington. Researchers throughout the world are searching for remedies to treat COVID-19, the disease caused by the coronavirus. There are some drugs that show promise. However, fears among the public can lead to searches for unproven therapies. VOA's Carol Pearson has more.
A drug called chloroquine, and some people would add to it hydroxychloroquine.
In mid-March, President Trump touted drugs used to treat malaria as a remedy for COVID-19.
Based on what I see, it could be a game changer.
And even though there was no proof that it worked for patients stricken by the virus, the president continued to promote the drugs.
I've seen people that are going to die without it. And you know the expression, when that's happening, they should do it. What really do we have to lose?
They can be potentially cardiotoxic at very high doses. And for people with pre-existing conditions, there are additional risks that come along with these two drugs. And so they should be taken under medical supervision.
A new study published in JAMA Internal Medicine found that internet searches by people who wanted to buy these drugs jumped by nearly 1,400% after President Trump recommended them.
Instead of just looking at search trends that were indicative of people just Googling and kind of learning more about these drugs, we specifically looked at people seeking out to buy or order these drugs in addition to kind of using these terms in addition to these e-commerce websites.
Disinfectants are hard to find in stores, but calls to the CDC, poison control centers, and state departments of health increased after Mr. Trump said that injecting disinfectants might also work to treat COVID-19. Both manufacturers and doctors warned the public not to try it.
Introducing one of these products in any way, shape, or form, be it by injection, ingestion, or application on the skin, is harming the body.
What the study suggests is that statements from political leaders influence people's actions, and misinformation can have harmful or even deadly results. Carol Pearson, VOA News, Washington.
Happening now in Asia, Japanese Prime Minister Shinzo Abe has extended the country's state of emergency over the coronavirus pandemic until the end of May. The original 30-day decree, set to expire Wednesday, covered Tokyo and six other prefectures, but was later extended nationwide. Stay up to date with VOA. You're listening to VOA Asia. We're glad, as always, to have you with us today on VOA Asia. The coronavirus pandemic poses challenges to people across the world, especially in countries under stringent lockdowns. Anjana Pasricha in New Delhi spoke to a family of three generations that lives together to see how their lives have been affected as they wait for the arrival of a fourth generation.
This young, expectant mother's appointments with her doctor have turned into phone consultations. Unnerved by the coronavirus pandemic, she quarantined herself even before the country was shut down.
I didn't step out. Friends who were coming over, I just sort of, you know, in my own ways, tell them that, you know, please don't come, because not because of any other reason, but just because I wanted to be extra careful.
There are benefits. Working from home, the young couple can spend more time with each other and their extended family. Three generations live together in this house.
We pulled out games from our childhood and wanted to play that, because that's more human interaction per se.
His parents face different challenges. Their self-run businesses have been completely disrupted.
I have to be there with the people to skill them and then provide them job opportunities. There is no online opportunity for me.
Her husband, too, does not expect his cement trading to resume soon. There are compensations, such as a leisurely lunch. Moreover, during a shutdown, children living in can be a bonus in more ways than one.
My son trimmed my beard a few days back, and seeing him trimming my beard, my daughter-in-law said she will cut my hair. So she became my barber, personal barber, and she did my hair. So she was very hesitant in cutting it, but I said, okay, you know, let it be, I will become bald, that's it, but more.
He compensates for lack of socializing by connecting with friends online.
We open our drinks and say cheers to everyone, and somebody plays the music at their place, so we just, chill out for some time.
His 80-year-old mother uses the lockdown to embroider sheets and knit for the baby. But a less tech-savvy generation misses meeting friends.
I like to move just for few hours, once in a day, or for a walk outside, I would love to go.
As the baby bag is packed, there are many questions. Will anybody be able or even allowed to meet the newcomer?
This is her 9th month, so we are all keeping our fingers crossed that the lockdown opens.
Still, the anticipation of a fourth generation, rare these days, keeps everyone enthusiastic.
I feel excited, nervous as well, and just waiting for the day to come when I can have the baby in my hand.
The excitement has taken over the fear.
I love a lot to be a great grandmother.
Even a pandemic cannot crush the spirits of the great Indian family. Anjana Pasricha for VOA News, New Delhi.
VOA Asia is on Twitter. Follow us at VOA Asia for developing stories in Asia, perhaps close to you. Our Twitter feed also has updates on programs you can hear and see, with links to find them easily. With VOA Asia, you can also follow radio program host VOA Stevenson and VOA Melman. VOA Asia Twitter. We're always online for you.
This news from VOA Asia. Bangladesh has relocated more than 24 Rohingya refugees who had been stranded at sea for several days to a flood-prone island in the Bay of Bengal. The group is believed to have been among 500 Rohingyas who have been stranded on 2 fishing vessels that were turned away by Malaysia. You'll find all the big stories through the day on VOA Asia Twitter and Facebook. This is VOA Asia. We continue now with VOA Asia. Human Rights Watch is warning that children could be the main victims of the COVID-19 pandemic, despite the fact that the disease affects mostly older people. The economic crisis means that many families in developing countries may pull their children out of school, and it could force them into work. Henry Ridgewell in London tells us the rates of child abuses and child marriage is also going up during the prolonged economic downturn, while there are also fears that the children will miss out on education and immunization programs.
Empty classrooms being disinfected in Wuhan, China, where the coronavirus pandemic began. It's estimated that globally 1.5 billion children are missing school. Human Rights Watch says the outbreak is having myriad impacts on young people.
More and more children are going to be left without parents. And we've seen from the Ebola crisis, for example, the HIV epidemic in sub-Saharan Africa, that when children are orphaned, they become much more vulnerable to sex trafficking, to child labor, and other forms of exploitation.
A recent report from the International Labor Organization warned 200 million people could lose their jobs as a result of the pandemic.
As parents lose their employment, especially in developing countries, we often see more and more children pushed into child labor to try and help families just meet their basic needs. And correspondingly, there's also a trend towards early end child marriage, with girls feeling the pressure to marry to get out of the house and relieve the pressure on their parents.
It is the most vulnerable who feel the effects first. These children live on the streets of Dakar, Senegal. Life is getting even tougher under lockdown.
Before the coronavirus, we were asking for food from people. But with the disease, everyone started to be worried and to take safety measures. They stopped giving us food.
In rich countries, poorer children are missing out on school lunches, often their one big meal of the day. This was the line recently outside a school in New York, which has begun serving food to all members of the local community.
It's a bit tough right now, considering we don't really have work to get food. So we have to make do what we have.
With the country in lockdown, activists in Russia report a big spike in domestic violence, a pattern repeated in many countries around the world.
As parents become anxious about their health, about their finances, about their jobs, and tensions rise as people are sort of together 24/7, the risk of violence really escalates.
There are also concerns that children are missing out on vital immunization programs as health systems prioritize coronavirus patients. Human Rights Watch is urging governments to put children at the center of their coronavirus response policies, with greater efforts to expand access to education and to provide economic assistance to vulnerable families. Henry Ridgewell for VOA News, London.
There is no current evidence that dogs can be infected. Hand washing after contact with all animals is recommended. This protects against other bacteria, such as E. coli and Salmonella, that can pass between animals and humans. For more information, visit www.who.int or www.cdc.gov.
Now on VOA Asia, as people continue to stay home to help contain the spread of the coronavirus, businesses, museums, and other venues are trying to relieve some of their boredom by offering online exhibits, entertainment, and fitness classes free of charge. As VOA's Julie Tabo reports, it appears to be a win-win situation.
I ain't got nobody.
This rare footage of jazz great Louis Armstrong is just a small sampling of a new online exhibit that takes you inside the musician's home without having to leave your own. It's being offered by the Armstrong House Museum in Queens, a New York City borough, which normally charges for entry into the historic landmark. But because of the COVID-19 lockdown, which has forced museums to close, the exhibit is being offered online instead, free of charge.
Ah, Jane Eyre.
In Britain, London's National Theatre is screening some of its most popular productions online at no charge, as the theatre itself remains closed due to the pandemic.
By launching this as a premiere event, we wanted to get as close as we could to that feeling of people seeing a live event. Then we're hopeful that people can link up with friends, family, around the country or even around the world, all agree that they're going to watch it at the same time.
Music fans can also enjoy popular shows online. British composer Andrew Lloyd Webber is streaming full-length performances of his musicals on a dedicated YouTube channel. And theatrical venues like the Metropolitan Opera recently streamed a live, at-home gala performance with more than 40 leading artists performing from their homes all around the world.
Front knee is over the front ankle, similar to lunge pose.
Fitness companies are also reaching people in non-traditional ways. Athletic clothing retailer Lululemon is offering online yoga classes. Nike has free online workouts. And Planet Fitness is streaming live workouts on their Facebook page.
We got 15 seconds left. Drive.
Businesses are doing this for one simple reason, says clinical professor James Schrager.
Promotion. When the whole economy slows down, let's take a museum, and no one is coming, it's a fabulous chance for you to get the word out there. And these clever businesses are realizing, at no cost to me, if I can get them to my site, I'm delighted to let them try what I have for sale later on.
Hopefully, once this is all over, people will be going back into their theatres and cinemas to get more of it. I think right now, that's what everybody needs, the chance to have a laugh, be entertained, and hopefully provoke some real conversation.
To date, hundreds of thousands of people around the world have accessed these diversions as they wait out the pandemic.
As you're ready, arms come up.
Julie Tabo, VOA News.
New York City's Grab and Go meal service program that once provided free meals to school children has been expanded during the pandemic. Evgeny Maslov investigated how the program works. Anna Rice narrates the story.
With millions of people losing their jobs because of the coronavirus pandemic, the issue of eating enough or eating at all is a vital one for many families. In response, New York City officials have expanded the city's grab-and-go meal service program to provide free meals to serve all children and adults across the five boroughs.
Right now we have a couple of kids at home, so we make a schedule, you know, for breakfast and lunch, so this helps a lot. It's working for us. And I'm pretty sure for most of the parents, it's working too.
Thousands of pounds of food are being given out in more than 400 New York schools from Monday to Friday, breakfast through lunch. There's no registration needed, no need to show documents either. Meals include sandwiches, cheese, fruit, juices, salad mixes, and sweets. Vegetarian and halal options are also available.
It's hard because you have to stand in line for things. And sometimes when you stand in line to get something, when you get there, you might not even find it. Like something basic like toilet paper. So it feels like I don't want to be depressing. Like it's almost the end of the world. Like, why is this happening? But we're trying to make the best of it. We've been through, you know, 9/11, Sandy, tough times. So staying optimistic that we're going to get through this.
My father's wife passed away in Harlem like 3 days ago because of the coronavirus. So we've been very bad situation for the whole family. And my sister-in-law in Brooklyn has been sick too, my brother-in-law.
While anyone can take part in the program, it is mostly aimed at the poor.
This disease is affecting people disproportionately in lower-income communities, in communities that have had more health problems historically, and in communities of color. The extent of that disparity, we're still trying to fully understand, and the data we'll give you will help us understand, but it will not be the final word.
Part of the produce that makes up the grab-and-go meals comes from largely shut-down restaurants that don't need as much as they used to. The city authorities are also considering hiring laid-off restaurant workers to help distribute meals.
It makes you rethink about your life and where you're going and where you want to go and what's important and what's not important. So in a way, having this pause is kind of like really self-reflection on oneself. And hopefully, I'm hoping that people are doing that too. And when this is all over, we could be kinder to one another.
New York City food banks also continue to operate in the city. Anyone who needs food can go there as well. For Evgeny Maslov in New York, Anna Rice, VOA News.
You're about to meet the Virtual Corona Community Chorus. That's a group based in New York City. Each Sunday, the chorus members gather online to unite voices forced into isolation in the global effort to curb the coronavirus outbreak. VOA correspondent Mariama Diallo reports on its founder, an author and Harvard Divinity School graduate.
Once a week, the organizer of the Corona Community Chorus, based in Brooklyn, New York, is joined by people from around the world via video to sing together. It all started with a simple idea that flourished when Casper Tuquill put out a call on social media.
It was such an enthusiastic response to it that I was like, okay, well, let's do this. So I just said, everyone come on Sunday. Here's my Zoom room.
He says more than 100 people joined in every Sunday. Here they are singing the Australian nursery rhyme, Kookaburra.
Your life must be.
Yay.
That's awesome. I love that one.
You know, when you put it in gallery view, you see lots and lots of people's faces, and I could see them kind of singing along and smiling, and especially folks who brought their kids. It was really sweet to see.
From his home, he leads the group through a multilingual repertoire. And if you're not familiar with the words, lyrics are shared on screen.
There's so much skill in real medicine, you know, in like in the hospital. But there's also ways in which we can care for ourselves and each other.
As the fight against the coronavirus outbreak continues, the virtual singing group hopes to connect voices in isolation and help make staying home a little more pleasant.
I am not afraid.
Thank you so much, everyone, for singing together.
Mariama Diallo, VOA News.
You've been listening to VOA Asia. Like us on Facebook at VOA Asia. You can also follow us on Twitter at VOA Asia and on Instagram and YouTube, all under the name VOA Asia. You can find our full-length 25-minute programs at voanews.com, where you can listen to it by streaming or download it. Any way that you're listening to our program, we thank you so much. And we thank our managing editor, Diane Gao, and our VOA Asia team. Ira Melman, Doug Bernard, and Keith Lane. I'm Jim Stevenson. We're in Washington. We hope you have a great day ahead. Be safe. Be well.